Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We're thankful you're here with us on Bills by the Numbers, where we let the stats tell you where the Bills are at. We're presented by FanDuel. Make every moment more. Coming up, has James Cook vaulted himself into the upper echelon of backs in a league where true feature backs are hard to come by? And is his skill set ideal for what new offensive coordinator Joe Brady wants to do with Buffalo's offense? We discuss. Former Eagles safety Ike Reese joins us to talk Bills Eagles, and Steve works his magic in the numbers game. Hey, who ate the last slice of apple pie? We hope you've enjoyed all the pie your stomach can muster this week. Thanks for making us a part of your Thanksgiving week here on Bills by the Numbers. Bills Wall of Famer Steve Tasker, Bills insider Chris Brown here with you. And it's taken a bit longer than maybe some of us anticipated when the Bills made him a second-round pick in the 2022 NFL Draft. And it's through no fault of his own, but James Cook is emerging as a top-flight back in the NFL. Entering Week 12, Cook ranks fourth in the league in rushing, despite being 14th in total carries. He's fifth in yards per carry average at 5.5, and first in yards before contact per rush at 2.15. He is also fourth in the AFC in total yards from scrimmage. What do you make of what James Cook has become for Buffalo's offense, Mr. Tasker?
Well, he's had great opportunity. Last year he kind of squandered on the bench, and this year he's gotten a lot of opportunities, more in the passing game, particularly of late, obviously with the change in offensive coordinator. Last week was a big change in what we'd seen from him before, running actual routes rather than just getting check down throws. And then the running game came alive last week against the Jets. I think surprisingly against the Jets. They ran the ball extremely well. I did not anticipate that. The Jets have a really good front, and the Bills made hay against them in the run game, and Cook was a big part of that. I think the switch to the new offensive coordinator, Joe Brady, is going to reap benefits. And plus, the guys behind him are also playing extremely well, too. So I think it's a sign not only is the offensive line clicking because all those backs are having some success, but it's also James Cook and his abilities. The guy he's got great elusiveness, good vision, catches the ball well. So the opportunities he's getting behind this offensive line and this offense is really paying dividends.
Yeah, I would tip my hat to the offensive line, too, of late. They ran extraordinarily well against a Broncos front that, you know, wasn't anything to write home about. But to do it in a second consecutive week against the Jets is certainly an encouraging sign down the stretch, especially when you know the weather is only going to get worse in the games to come. And then with respect to Cook specifically, I just feel like, I don't know what it is. It's a gut feeling. I feel like Joe Brady's going to continue to utilize him in the passing game. It's an easy answer for Josh to get the ball out of his hands quickly, especially when you're facing a formidable pass rush like the one the Eagles have. So, yeah, I think he is going to get more opportunities in the passing game going forward, which was something I've been hoping for the better part of the last month. We know that Cook is a gifted athlete, Steve, but what would you say is the top asset in his skill set?
I think it's his ability to contribute in the passing game. Catches the ball well on the move, and if you give him some space, he can make that guy miss. And in this league, when you're playing these good defenses, we talk about it a lot on the regular show, the best defenses are the ones where the first guy that gets to the ball makes the tackle. The ball goes down. You never miss a tackle, snap off a long run. Cook has the ability to make a guy miss, and that's hard to do in the NFL, particularly against good defenses. So his ability to catch it and make a guy miss, I think, is as good an asset as you can have, particularly in a league that throws the football all the time. We saw it last week. They gave him that swing pass just with a little space, and he makes a guy miss and converts it for a first down. I think that's the best thing about it.
Yeah, I don't completely disagree with that, but there was something that has shown up more and more with each passing game in his skill set, and that is his sense of timing. Sometimes people call it, oh, he's a patient runner, but he's not always a patient runner. I think he has got a great sense of timing in the run game. And what I mean by that is, if the hole is there from the jump, bang, he's through it in a shot. But if it's a muddy hole and it's not there at first, he does not panic. He'll hold his water, he'll stay patient, and he'll find some other crease to exploit and then accelerate again. So I think, I guess what I'm saying is he's really smart about not treating every run play the same. He reads the play after he's been given the ball and adjusts accordingly. And there are not every running back is capable of doing that. There are guys like, give me the ball, I'm hitting the hole. Whether there's a crease, a giant hole, or nothing there, that's where the play's going, that's what I'm doing. And I don't think Cook does that. I think he discerns what is needed to make the most on this play. How do I get the most yardage in this situation? And he adjusts accordingly on the fly. I've been very impressed with his sense of timing, when to press the hole, when to shoot through the hole, when to bounce it, when to choose another option, when to slide down the line and hope there's another crease somewhere else. He's just really, really good at doing that. As we get a feel for Joe Brady as new offensive coordinator for the Bills, who utilized backs in the passing game, coming out of the backfield against the Jets in Week 11 with great success. Two of those receptions, as we know, Steve, went for touchdowns. One in the red zone to Cook, the other to Ty Johnson on a 4th-and-1 gotta-have-it play. Do we anticipate Cook getting more opportunities in Buffalo's passing game going forward?
Well, they've certainly they've earned the opportunity to earn the trust of a coaching staff. Yeah. So I think there's two things at work. Yes, if there's a matchup and a defensive matchup that they like with the running backs, you can bet that they'll trust them to win that matchup. And going forward, when you have success, you breed more opportunities.
Yeah.
Now that, you know, you can come into, like I say, you can come into a game where the defense is going to take that away. They're very good at it and it doesn't work. But I don't think there's any question that that's something the defense is going to have to think about now. They're going to have to contend with Ty Johnson, James Cook, Latavius Murray. One of those three guys is in there. And Johnson and Cook have all already said they're kind of interchangeable. They both catch it. They both run. They both got good wheels. Both run hard up inside. Mm-hmm. And Latavius Murray has always been a hammer. So they're going to have to think about that as a defense. So however defenses react to the Bills' offense, there's no question that if it's there, the Bills' coaching staff's going to trust those guys to get it done.
I realize the answer to this is largely game plan specific and opponent specific. But looking ahead at the schedule here, you got an Eagles team that can be very tough rushing the passer. Chiefs, the defense is the best part of their team right now. And they sacked Jalen Hurts a handful of times in last week's game. Cowboys, we know how they can get after the passer. And then even the Chargers are a good pass rushing team, although Joey Bosa is on IR right now. So if you look at the next slate of opponents for the Bills, I think it makes sense to make that a part of your game plan and utilize it to maybe take some heat off of your pass protection, because it's an easy answer for Josh in the passing game. Swing passes, throws to the flat, leak outs, whatever you want to call them, safety valve checkdowns. I think they will get more opportunities just by virtue of the defenses they're facing over the course of the next month. Then, realizing this answer, as we said, could be based on weekly opponent matchups, how do you see the roles of all of Buffalo's backs going forward here, Steve? Cook, Murray, Johnson, especially in light of what Johnson showed us against the Jets last week.
Yeah, Johnson seemed to earn more snaps, although, you know, you never know how that's going to play out when you get into the game and somebody gets a hot hand. But Latavius Murray seems to have a role as a spell. Mm-hmm. Where he comes in and he'll either run the football hard up inside or he's going to pass protect. Conversely, Ty Johnson and James Cook, I don't know about Ty Johnson, we haven't seen it too much, but James Cook, you can split out. And Ty Johnson can certainly catch it coming out of the backfield like he did for the touchdown he caught. So Cook and Johnson or more interchangeable. Latavius Murray seems to be the one that stands out as the short yardage guy, the red zone guy, the goal-to-go guy. We'll see if that play continues to be the case. But Ty Johnson, there's no question he's inserted himself into the rotation with his play last week. So I think you're going to see more of the same. It's going to be game plan specific as to whether Joe Brady wants to use those guys, how much he's going to use them. We've talked about on the Daily Show the thing we liked about the thing we noticed about the running backs and the usage in the passing game was that they're running routes rather than just checking down.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if that continues, but certainly in the early going against a good Jet defense, that was a change for the better.
Yeah. Ty Johnson is an interesting mix of power and speed, and we saw that in the game against the Jets. I still remember him from the preseason game in Chicago when he just joined the team, and he's pulling through tackles. Like, you got linebackers with arm tackles, and he's just
right.
striding through them. I was like, wow, that's impressive. But then we saw he's got some juice, too. He's kind of, in a strange way, he's kind of a combination of Latavius Murray and James Cook.
Right.
Maybe not quite as fast as James, maybe not quite as strong as Latavius Murray, but a very intriguing mix of the two. Time to pivot to the Week 12 matchup for the Bills as they travel to Philly to take on the 9-1 Eagles. Here now to help us break down the defending NFC champs is former Eagle Ike Reese. Okay, Ike, so let's begin here. Eagles, as we know, unbeaten at home, only one loss on the season, and it was a turnover-filled affair against the Jets, and that's probably the main reason they lost to them, maybe more than anything else. What would you say, if you had to compare this year's edition of the Eagles to that of last year when they marched all the way to the Super Bowl, is there anything where they're maybe just a tick better, and is there anything that is maybe a tick lower than where it was at this time last year for this squad?
Well, listen, I think that team last year was one of the better rosters that the Philadelphia Eagles as a team have put together. You know, so you're talking about a team that came together last year, and they had some things, not to take anything away from how good they were as a unit, but they had some things in their favor, like having a schedule that wasn't necessarily the toughest schedule in the league last year. And they were able to sort of show that dominance week in and week out. Like, for me, I didn't feel like they got a true test until they played in the Super Bowl. I mean, when they played Kansas City in the Super Bowl, that's when I felt like they got their first true test last year. This year has been different because they aren't the hunted anymore. I mean, they aren't the hunters anymore. They have everybody hunting them. So the schedule's been tougher this year. I don't think the roster overall is as talented as the one they had last year. Although, I think in key areas, they're much better. I think Jalen's playing quarterback better this year than he played last year. I think, especially from the pocket. I think A.J. Brown is obviously playing at a higher level than he was a year ago. So, you got some of those factors factoring in. I would kind of give the edge to this team because I think they're more seasoned. And because they're getting everyone's best shot and they don't seem to necessarily wilt under the pressure, I like this team a lot better because they've already gone through tough times and adversity and they sort of know what to expect this year.
Yeah, and if you look at their schedule, I mean, last week it was Dallas. This week, two weeks ago it was Dallas. Then it was Kansas City. Now it's Buffalo. Then they got San Francisco. Then the Cowboys again. It's a tough stretch. Yeah. And conversely, same thing with Buffalo. They go Jets, Eagles, Chiefs, Cowboys. I mean, this is an incestuous league. I know all these teams playing each other. It really is the meat of the season. How do you think this team's going to weather through? Have they lost guys to injury or anything like that? I mean, this seems to be a pretty intact group.
Other than Dallas Goedert, he's the biggest guy they lost a few weeks ago. We got Bradley Roby back, coming off the bye week, along with right guard Cam Jurgens. Got him back last week. So, and you saw, to me, Monday night against Kansas City, where both of those guys sort of had an impact. On defense, the obvious forced fumble on Travis late in that game from Bradley Roby was a huge impact. But even with getting Cam Jurgens back out there, I think helped the running game get going a little bit. And I can't leave this out. Jalen, I think, got a little healthier over the bye week. And you saw last week against Kansas City, he was a part of the running game, which he hadn't been from a design standpoint over the last 6 or 7 weeks. So other than Dallas Goedert, they have gotten healthier over the last couple of weeks. And that's a huge factor, Steve. You know that health is a huge factor.
I know that, you know, this defense can get after the quarterback, maybe not at the record pace they were at last year. But you look at the one that really puzzles me, Ike, is the red zone defense for this Eagles team. I mean, it's down in the bottom third, which I don't think anybody would anticipate from this group. What, if anything, has been the issue when they're defending their red area this season?
It's been a little bit of everything, right? It's never one thing, because that would make it a lot easier to fix if it's only one thing. So I think a big part of it is not having the same players on the back end of your defense. So we've dealt with a lot of injuries throughout the year. Guys missing time. Reed Blankenship missed time. We lost Avante Maddox early in the year for the rest of the season. You bring in Bradley Roby. I think he may have played one or two games, and then he got injured. You traded for Kevin Byard. So he was a new guy trying to get acclimated to everything. So I think that has played somewhat of a part of it. Sean Desai, as I think the best job he's done this year is handling all the personnel. And, you know, sometimes when you don't have guys out there with experience, you sometimes have to water down what you want to do from a scheme standpoint just so everybody can play fast. And then you still have to be able to get over the communication factor. In other words, so you're not having mental errors out there, bone coverages, things of that nature. I think the Eagles have dealt with a little bit of that throughout the first half of the season, and I think that's contributed some to the red zone scoring from a passing standpoint. And I last week, I thought we saw some areas where they started to improve, where they played a little bit better last week versus what they did the week before. That interception by Kevin Byard down in the red zone was huge. The turnover from Bradley Roby down in the red zone was huge. So I think the more we see this group play together, they're going to be a much stronger unit this second half of the season than they were the first half of the season.
Last one from me, Ike, is you mentioned that Jalen was playing quarterback, but he's playing the position better than he did a year ago. But you got with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith out there, where's this, as opposed to last year and maybe even from the beginning of this year, where do you see this offense like evolving? I mean, certainly those two guys are the centerpiece along with Jalen. Where do you see the next step for evolution for these guys?
Man, we can get Dallas back in there, I think. Right. I mean, we boast one of the best skill position groups around the league. And I think because Jalen is playing so well from the pocket, and we saw last week, he got back to being a threat in the run game as well. He likes to talk about being a triple threat, running, throwing, and being able to beat you mentally. And that's where I see this team and this offense has taken the next step, is that he is a much better cerebral quarterback from the pocket and understanding what teams are trying to do to him, that you can't force him to play one way and make him uncomfortable. He seems to be comfortable adjusting to whatever a defense throws at him. May not get it early in the game, but usually when they get to that second half, they figured out what defenses are trying to do to them, and they're very comfortable running the football and throwing the football. It was great to see last week we got back to running the football effectively, because I think that makes everything else in the offense a lot easier.
Ike, thanks as always for the time. We appreciate it. Should be a good one on Sunday.
Oh, I expect a good one, man. Happy Thanksgiving, fellas. Thanks for having me.
Thanks,
and to you too. Hey, Bills fans, get in on the action with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Just download the app today to play any way you want. Plus, with live betting, you'll get updated odds on games that have already started. Best of all, you'll get paid your winnings fast. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the Buffalo Bills. We move along to the numbers game, where Steve is going to be quizzed on Bills running back history. Get loose, my man.
All right, here we go.
There we go. Question number one. There are two Bills running backs who share the single season record for yards per carry average. Can you name them?
OJ?
That is correct.
I don't know
who
is
the other.
A ton.
Single season.
Fred Jackson.
Yards per carry average. I'm sorry, that is not the right answer.
Thurman.
It is not Thurman either.
Oh, how about Marshawn?
It is not Marshawn. Give you one last crack
James
at it.
Cook.
It is not James Cook. It is C.J. Spiller.
Oh, all right.
In 2012, they both averaged 6 yards per carry.
Well, big number.
CJ had a monster season in 2012, and then he disappeared. He didn't come back. Yeah. It's terrible. Or he did come back in 2013, and then that was it. Under Doug Marrone. Shocker. Question number two. O.J. Simpson also holds the single-season rushing touchdown record of 16. There are three players who are tied for second place on the single-season rushing touchdown list with 13. Can you name at least two of them? 13 rushing touchdowns in a season for the Bills.
Thurman
is not on this list.
Have I said them before? Have I mentioned them?
You have not mentioned any of these backs.
Really?
Yes.
Cookie Gilchrist.
Not Cookie Gilchrist.
Joe Cribbs.
Not Joe Cribbs.
Thirteen
rushing touchdowns. I will tell you.
Kenny Davis.
No, not Kenny Davis. 13's a lot, Steve.
It's a lot.
I am going to give you a hint. All three of these running backs, drought era running backs. 13 rushing touchdowns.
All right. Fred? No, I already said Fred.
Not Fred.
Drought era running backs, my gosh.
It's a wide swath. Wow. I realize it's a 17-year
span.
Way
to narrow it down for me. Travis Henry.
Travis Henry, well done.
I got to get one of two more. Travis Henry, and I'll say, oh, man, this is hard. Okay, he's out. He's not in. I'll say, I can't even think of another running back.
You can go late in the drought, and you could find somebody, I'm confident.
Who was here after Fred?
It's the 2 years that the Bills led the league in rushing.
Well, who was that? LeSean
McCoy.
Yeah, Shady.
That's right.
All right, that's the only
one. The other one was Willis McGahee.
Oh, yeah.
13
okay.
rushing touchdowns.
Well, those are some names, man. Golly, Jawillikers.
We just went with Jawillikers. Question number three. Which Bills running back has the longest run in team history? Yardage. Longest run.
OJ?
It is not OJ, believe it or not.
Wow, okay. Spiller?
It is not CJ either.
It's got to be somebody that can scoot, right?
You would think.
LeSean.
It is not LeSean.
Is it drought era?
It is drought era.
I'm trying to think. I should have seen the. I've seen the play. Then where? What?
You're wearing out the buzzer this week, Steve.
Have I said the guy's name?
You have.
Marshawn.
It's not Marshawn.
Travis Henry.
It is not Travis Henry. One more guess here, and we got to move.
I'm gonna say CJ.
No, it was Fred Jackson. In 2011.
Is that Chicago?
It was not Chicago. Do you want to take a guess as to how long that run was? That's question four. I'll give you a hint. It was against the Giants in 2011, down there, and went for a touchdown. But the Bills lost 27-24.
78.
You're close. It was 80 yards. Is that crazy? 80 yards is the longest running back run in team history. That is shocking to me.
It's hard to do, man. What are you talking about?
And finally, question five, Steve. Who holds the single-season record for most carries in a season?
Thurman Thomas.
That is Thurman Thomas. 315 in 1993. That's where you say, gee willikers. That's a lot of work.
Let me tell you, that guy was an absolute warrior.
Whew!
Absolute warrior.
315.
He practiced every day. And I went back, you know, back when I used to exercise, you used to put on videotape, watch old games and stuff.
Yeah.
He took a pounding in some of those games.
Yeah.
Just got back in the huddle.
Kind of makes you wonder how he's walking around.
He's doing good, man.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
He looks great.
We now help you with the free to pick 'em game on FanDuel.com called High Low. Each week, we pick a player or a team to finish with the highest or lowest total for the week in a number of different statistical categories to earn points. The more points you earn, the bigger prize you can win. Play free for a chance at $10,000 in total prizes every Sunday. And I'm just going to say, last week, we nailed three of them with perfect picks in High Low. Probably the only time we've done it. But hey, got to toot your horn when you're doing
right.
Well.
Right.
So, Steve, right. Lead us off with the high for passing
yards. High for passing yards. I'm jumping on the bandwagon. C.J. Stroud down in Houston. He's been making 300-yard games week after week. Their number two passing offense, and Jacksonville, their opponent, is 29th in the league. So enough said.
In pass defense?
In pass defense.
Oof.
So enough said.
All right. Low for passing yards. I'm taking the Raiders against the Chiefs. The strength of the Chiefs right now, as I said earlier, is their defense. They're the fourth best pass defense in football. They're third in points allowed. Defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo is going to turn up the heat on the Raiders quarterback Aiden O'Connell. Raiders low for passing yards.
All right. High for rushing yards. I'm going to go with that same game, Kansas City, Las Vegas, and I'm going to take Isaiah Pacheco. The Raiders haven't been able to stop anybody in the run. I think they're going to start to wobble. It's a point in the season where you can, and I think that loss last week is going to hit the Raiders. They're 27th in the league in run defense. Pacheco is going to have some success.
The interim coach bump is over?
I think it is.
Low for rushing yards. I'm taking the ex-Bills back, Motor Singletary. I know he's just 2 weeks removed from a 150-yard rushing day, but I don't see that kind of production against Jacksonville's fourth-ranked run defense. They're a salty bunch up front. So Singletary low for rushing yards.
All right, high for receiving yards. Calvin Ridley for Jacksonville. The Texans are going to get in shootouts. They're going to have trouble stopping people. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to find Ridley, and they're going to turn in some big plays against the 25th-ranked pass defense of Houston. So I think Jacksonville and Calvin Ridley is going to have the high in receiving yards.
People are going to think I'm nuts with this, but I'm going to take Travis Kelce on low for receiving yards. Remember, wow. This is strictly receiving yards we're talking. I think he'll have a handful of catches, but I think most will be underneath. And with the struggles of the other receiving targets for the Chiefs, I believe the Raiders will put all their attention on Kelce, which could mean fewer opportunities for him to make plays. Our closing figure deals with points off turnovers. Believe it or not, while the Bills are among the league leaders in giveaways, they also have the highest number of points scored off takeaways. Buffalo has 19 takeaways on the season, and they have scored 65 points off of those turnovers, which leads the league. Buffalo is even on turnover differential this season. That'll do it for this edition of Bills by the Numbers. Be sure to subscribe so you know when the next episode drops, because when you need to know about the Bills, you need to check Bills by the Numbers. For Steve Tasker, I'm Chris Brown. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time, everybody.